indeed, the Catechism of Trent does reject universalism, as I've said before, a topic that unfortunately Peter Diamond is not going to get, and unfortunately I'm not going to go into it and waste my time on something that Peter Diamond doesn't understand. Just like he doesn't understand Revelation 6, promise to deal with it. I hope he will keep his word and hope he will show us the logical connector. Anyhow, I'm going to go back to the fact that we keep being told that for all has never been used, even though I've shown that it was used in many churches and was through what Ephraim wrote in his homily. And yet I think we were trying to be led down the path to believe what Ephraim said was spurious, yet he was called a great church father by Jerome, the greatest biblical scholar of his day. And a formula meaning is used in the Eucharistic formulation in John 6. And I never said that Christ said for all. In fact, I want to be clear and clear it up. If I mistakenly said something to lead you to believe that, I was clear that Christ, we use a stronger word in cosmos, cosmos meaning the whole world, which I think is even stronger than the formulation for all, John 6:51, which is why I kept bringing up the verse, I kept using it over and over, it was never dealt with. But anyhow, the church, the current church, which Peter Diamond called the Vatican II Church, never said that for many, that for all is falsely translated. They planned to go back to for many, without a doubt, for various reasons, but never once have they said that this is an erroneous mass or an erroneous translation. Indeed, many is used in Matthew 26, and I think it's very important that we do examine Matthew 26 and Mark 14, which is why I examined them earlier. And it is important to also examine John 6, which uses the word cosmos in reference to pretty much all of humanity, being consistent with the way John uses the term. And since we're on the topic of for many, I'm going to go right back to a point I brought up earlier, wasn't dealt with, and I hope that Peter Diamond can deal with Exodus 24 and Mark 14:24. I'm going to point it out one more time. These two passages are clearly tied in, and it is relevant for Peter Diamond because Peter Diamond in his book brings up Mark and Matthew, which use the formula for many, and I suppose they keep hearkening to the fact that it's so important for many. They use Scripture, yet when I use it, I'm called a Protestant. But anyhow, when we examine Exodus, the Greek Septuagint rendering, and the New Testament Greek of Mark 14, we find many likenesses. As I pointed out before, the blood is poured out for many in Mark 14, and in Exodus 24, we have the blood of the covenant that the Lord made with you, the Greek plural, umas, from Sue. But my point in bringing this up is not to create a lightweight argument, but to point out that the interchangeability of all and many in their variances of forms is clear even here. And sure, it would be irrelevant if I would show for all and for many are interchanged in irrelevant areas. It would be ridiculous. But in Exodus, where Christ is referring to, we have the parallel comparative passage using the term umas from Sue, the English rendering you. But a few verses before, in verse 3, we read that the you are also referred to as all the people, the Greek word pas. And I find it very relevant because this is another a bit of proof that many scholars have pointed out that all and many are interchangeable in Scripture. And what is even more important is the fact that this is dealing with a sacrifice, sacrificial nature. And we find for all and for many interchangeable even here. Even bigger is the usage of cosmos in John 6. And if we want to hear that this is not a Eucharistic institution, I would love to debate that issue with Peter Diamond. We could do a whole debate that John 6 is not in reference to a Eucharistic institution account, and there we can pit Peter Diamond against the church followers in Scripture as well. We'll see how he fares there.
Okay, my turn. I'm starting now. You said that the Vatican II Church has not made any statements to indicate that for all is wrong, and that's simply not true. The Catholic World News, you can look it up, November 18, 2006, quote Cardinal Renzi, prefect for the Congregation for Divine Worship, announced that the Vatican had ruled that for all should not be used and for many should, okay? Obviously because for all in what he's saying is not proper. He's not saying that it invalidates it because, of course, he's an apostate, but he is acknowledging that it should be corrected and changed back. But even if he didn't say that, it makes no difference whatsoever. We have all kinds of authorities which say that for all is not valid. With regard to Revelation 6, I actually addressed that in the last debate, so I don't want to waste much time on it, but it makes perfect sense that it refers to the Novus Ordo, because it talks about this: he saw under the altar those who were slain for the word of God crying out. Okay, in other words, martyrs. Well, in the sacrifice of the Mass, and under the altar, the relics of martyrs were there. So it's drawing your attention to the relics of martyrs under the altar. It says that. And so it makes sense that they would be crying out at the abominations committed on the new altars in the Novus Ordo, right over their relics. And so it makes sense. Whether you agree with it is really not relevant. And so it's not absurd. You're the same person who said it's ridiculous to say that the word prophet can refer to a New Testament figure outside the first century. You said that's ridiculous until I refuted you on the two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11. So you don't understand the scriptures at all. With regard to the Catechism of Trent, you're citing an authority which completely contradicts you. As I said earlier, on its discussion of the form of the body, it makes reference to prove its point to the Council of Florence. Therefore, it accepted what Florence had to say about the form of consecration, and Florence accepted, taught the long form, as I quoted already. Furthermore, Duddy's argument, to explain it to people, he basically says that the Catechism says, in reference to the consecration of the body, that the words of consecration are those words which signify the change from of the sacrament. The words which signify the change from the bread to the body of Christ, those constitute the form. And he says that it says the same thing, he argues, about the blood. And he quotes the passage, "The form to be used of this element evidently consists of those words which signify that the substance of the wine is changed into the blood of our Lord." And so his argument, therefore, is that the consecration for the wine is just, "This is my blood." And this is an utterly false argument for two reasons. Number one, what form did the Catechism of Trent give us? It gave us the long form. It said the form is contained in the long form, or consists of the long form. Well, why would it say that if "this is my blood" is all you need? It would have said the form is "this is my body, this is my blood." So it begs the question, why would it give us the long form if it's teaching the short form? Secondly, his significant error, which completely refutes his argument, no one else has brought this out, is that if you look at the words right after that, the Catechism goes on to say, well, I'll re-quote it. It says that the form of this element evidently consists of those words which signify that the substance of wine is changed into the blood of the Lord. Since, therefore, the words already cited clearly declare this, in other words, the long form, it is plain that no other words constitute the form. It's saying that the words already cited, the long form, declare the change from wine to blood, and they certainly do. They include other words as well. That's all it's saying. It's not saying that the words only which signify the change from wine to blood are the form, and that's why it gives us the long form. Your turn.
All right, now we're going to deal a little bit more with Cardinal Lorenzi, and I want to point out that I hope individuals do look for that. Hopefully Peter Diamond will put the link up on his website so they can read it. In context, Irenze, I don't even know why he used some of it. He doesn't think he's a valid source. But anyway, he does point out that for many will be used. He doesn't say that that for all is an error. He never says that it's invalid as well. So to try and use the Catholic Church against itself, it really doesn't help. And I'm going to move right back on to Revelation 6 because it is relevant to the debate, and to see just how relevant Peter Diamond's eisegesis is. And we're going to go back to the point, and this is very interesting. I'm glad Peter Diamond used this argument in his radio series because it really helped me know how this debate was going to go and the way he was going to be reading into documents and scriptural passages. We're told that they're martyrs under the altar. And the funny thing I find here is that the term thusiasterion is used for altar. This Greek term is important because it is the very same term used in Hebrews 13. Here's an interesting one. It's used for a valid altar. If Diamond's argument would be valid, then this Greek term would be different to denote, as Peter Diamond said, a false altar and a false sacrifice. This altar only is used for valid sacrifices. This attempted exegesis is simply poor. I won't use outrageous anymore because it's poor. In fact, for anyone interested in doing proper exegesis and not eisegesis, look up the term thusiasterion, because I'm sure when Peter Diamond talks next, he'll call me incompetent. He'll probably even go back to my English grammatical error because it's so relevant to the debate. but you need to look up the term thusiasterion for altar in this passage. Peter says that this is in reference to the abomination of the Novus Ordo, a false mass and a false altar. Well, this term thusiasterion is only used for valid altars in all of the New Testament, every single passage. This is why I say we must be wary of state of acontism and their ludicrous claims. Anything goes for the state of acontism. You can read into anything. If the Pope is walking down the street in a certain way, you can call him a Satanist or a cultist for I don't know, a certain movement that he means. If he says hi to somebody and you catch him with two fingers close to each other or something that seems heretical, the Pope is automatically deemed demonic. These are ridiculous arguments. And I'm going to read the verse one more time so you can know just how silly this is. Revelation 6, 9-10. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. These individuals that are slain, we're told, were slain because of the word of God. Indeed, the logon in the Greek, and the testimony they held strongly to. Yet Peter Diamond tells us to make the connect that this is speaking of the Novus Ordo Missae. And I brought it up all along. I don't bring it up and harp over it over and over without reason, but I bring it up over and over that I can tell Peter Diamond is pretty good when it comes to copying and pasting arguments against some other individuals, such as his argument for many for all, pretty much made famous by Patrick Henry Almler. He really has trouble when it comes to the scriptures. His best defense is really reading into them, and I guess he would really hope that somebody's not going to read his book and somebody's not going to listen to his shows. But all I've done in the past month is listen to his shows over and over and hear his tortured eisegesis. And I find it ridiculous that his usage of thusiasterion here, he thinks it's in reference to a false altar. I simply cannot accept his reading into these verses.
Okay, my turn. Well, I was just going to ignore it, but you falsely accuse people all the time, and you don't have, I guess, since you're being refuted on the facts, you have to make those kind of false accusations. With regard to Umler, yes, he made some excellent points on the reality of the sacrament, the grace signified by the sacrament of the Eucharist, which totally proves that the new mass is invalid because it doesn't signify the union of the faithful with Christ. But I did not get any belief that many is necessary from him. In fact, I got it from reading the Council of Florence and Pope St. Pius V. And in fact, I've read other authors much more than I have Umler on this topic. For instance, Father Muley makes some excellent arguments on this point. But with regard to some of the other things you said, that Revelation 6, in your view, is referring to a true altar, well, that's completely irrelevant and doesn't disprove the point at all, because you have a false altar on top of the true altar, and the relics of the martyrs are under them, and so it would follow that they're crying out at these abominations. But again, this is really not too relevant to what we're saying. With regard to Arinze, he directed that it should be corrected. Obviously, therefore, he thinks that for all is not correct. Otherwise, he wouldn't endeavor to have it changed. With regard to some of the other points, I think it's important to cite again the Catholic Encyclopedia, West Syrian Rite, Adrian Fortescu, the 20th century liturgist, who points out that many of these ancient forms that are circulated are invalid, and this was also brought up again by Cardinal De Lugo in the Middle Ages, and it was shot down by the Church on the basis that many of these missals, especially in the Maronite tradition, were corrupted. Many of them had, this is my body, this is my blood only, but when they were corrected, it was seen that they had the full form, exactly as it is in the Roman Rite. I can't emphasize enough how we know that for all is invalid, because you yourself said earlier that Christ didn't say for all. And it therefore is a falsification of the words of Christ to attribute the words for all to Christ in the very form of consecration in the canon of the Mass, when in fact he did not say those words. And as I cited earlier, Pope Benedict XIV in his encyclical Ex Quo specifically pointed out that many of the Eastern missals, okay, and rituals had been infiltrated, really, corrupted with errors. He says this has obviously occurred in the Western Church too, even though it is not as subject to these errors as the Eastern Church. Accordingly, the Roman pontiffs have often had to see to it that missals, rituals, breviaries, and martyrologies were newly issued in improved editions after appropriate corrections. And so, for you to cite these things that don't hold authority in the Catholic Church proves that you have a heretical methodology. With regard to the quotes from For All, you repeatedly say that they're talking about For All being used in reference to universal salvation. Well, the new Mass's form does signify universal salvation because the form signifies unto the remission of sins. That's what it means. And as the Council of Florence says, it signifies the union of the faithful with Christ. And so when you put all in there, that's what it signifies. But over and above that, the passages which condemn using all in the consecration are not referring to using it in reference to all men are saved. It's simply analyzing whether all should be or could be said at all. And the answer is no. So, your turn.
All right. In regards to Patrick Henry Almler, I'm glad that you've read more stuff other than his. It's unfortunate that I stick to my argument. Almler is the one that constructed this ridiculous argument, and this argument isn't found anywhere, and I mean anywhere in the Fathers. As I've pointed out before, not only the Fathers, but even in the Scripture, for all and for many is interchangeable. And even more relevant is the fact that this is my body and this is my blood were viewed as valid in order to bring about a valid sacrament among the Fathers. They never, and I mean not even one time, give any relevance to the for many argument. Moving on to Adrian Fortescue, the individual that Peter Diamond keeps bringing up, I don't see any relevance to it. It really, there's no need to bring him up or any point because Ephrem's right. Ephrem's Eucharist, in which he does say, for all, not only was written in Aramaic, but also Greek. And the term pas, for all, is found here. And as I've said before, pas and poloi are used interchangeably in the Scripture. I don't need to go into that. It's a fact. I've shown it already. The same can be even shown in Exodus and Mark, a Eucharistic passage as well, which is quite significant. And yes, Christ didn't say for all. As I pointed out before, Christ used a stronger form, therefore allowing for all to not only be valid, but to make perfect sense in the Novus Ordo, what I would call the ordinary rite of Mass. Anyhow, I'm going to move right back. I said before that I would...
Okay, it's working now. So picking back up, we had the recorder went off, so go ahead, you have about 2.5 minutes left.
Okay, do I start over again, or do I just continue where I was at?
You can just continue.
Okay, I'll go. All right, going right back to what I said I was going to hope Peter Diamond to, I'm going to go back right back to Revelation 6. And I find it really interesting. I didn't quite understand. I heard it clearly. I think Peter Diamond must have said it really fast because he doesn't want to be embarrassed on it, but he said that I believe that there was a false altar above a real altar or a real altar above a false altar. I don't quite understand, but I pulled out my Bible, as Peter Diamond said that, and examined Revelation 6, 9-10, and I found that the usage of the Greek term thusiasterion is used one time, yet we're told that there are two altars here? I don't understand. I don't find this a relevant interpretation of this verse. Anyhow, I'm no longer going to harp on that. I think we see where that has gone already. In regards to too many, over for all the sources that list differences are referring to universalism, the ones he's mentioned at least, something that the Novus Ordo doesn't do or doesn't encourage. The Novus Ordo is quite clear that it says that his blood was shed for all. Not that all have their sins remitted by his blood. That is ridiculous, and that has never been taught. But that his blood was shed for all. And indeed, as John 6:51 shows, it was shed for the whole world, the Greek term cosmos. I'm going to go right back to the Catechism of the Council of Trent, because I realize that this is probably the only argument that the State of the Contists feel comfortable in using, but they don't realize that their position is not supported at all. I've said it once more. I've said it many times, over and over, that I'll stop for one moment and I'll say, you know what, Trent definitely does say that for many is used rather than for all, there's no doubt, but it never says that for many is needed to consecrate the elements. It is referring to for many over for all in reference to universalism and not in reference to, as John 6 says, the whole world that Christ gave his blood for. And if we read quite clearly, we can We can find it in everything that is pointed out by Mike Duddy. And in fact, if you look over at the State of the Conscious Group, CMRI, they pulled out a classical scholar of Latin and Greek to give his best refutation, and he really couldn't refute anything that Mike Duddy pointed out, and it is very interesting. And I think the arguments still hold very strong. This is my body, and this is my blood, are all that is needed, as the Catechism of the Council of Trent clearly puts forth.
Okay, my turn?
Yes, your turn.
Okay.
And one more time, you're going to go, and I guess after this is closing?
Okay.
Is that fine with you, or do you want to go again?
Yeah, I kind of wanted to ask you a question, and maybe you wanted to ask me a question.
We can do maybe one if you want, then might find that's bothering me a little bit, but I guess we can do one of them we could go to.
Yeah, so I'll do 4 minutes to finish, and then we'll ask each other a question, then we'll close.
No problem.
All right, my 4 minutes. You bring up John 6 repeatedly. That's completely irrelevant. As I said earlier, it's not an institution formula. It's well before the institution of the first Mass, so it's completely irrelevant. We know Christ shed his blood for all, but he didn't shed his blood for all men unto the remission of sins, and that is what is being signified when he's instituting the Eucharist. And as I cited earlier, I quoted Pope Benedict XIV, who specifically addresses this point, and he says, "It is granted that sometimes the word many, after a manner of speaking in the Holy Scriptures, may signify all. Therefore, we say that the blood of Christ was shed for all as regards sufficiency, and for the elect only as regards efficacy." And he goes on, "Therefore, as the Dr. Thomas explains correctly, he therefore, Jesus, expressly says, for you the Jews and for many the Gentiles." In other words, because he's talking about efficacy in the consecration, not sufficiency. It's a simple point, but you just can't get it. I'm not going to waste any more time on some of these irrelevant points. You are arguing the equivalent of that all of these authorities are basically absurd, don't have a clue what they're talking about. St. Thomas, who specifically, as I mentioned earlier, takes an objection for all in the consecration, and I gave the specific reference, and shoots it down, says, no, just dismisses it completely, says that's why he said for many, because he's signifying the elect. You said that many is not found anywhere in the Fathers. That's completely specious. Every single approved form of consecration we have has many. Every single one. And the declarations of the councils are in perfect conformity with the doctrine of the Fathers. To say otherwise is heretical. And the Council of Florence says that many is part of the form. To say, therefore, that it's contrary to the Fathers to say that many is part of the form is to impugn the authority of the Council of Florence, Pope St. Pius V, the Catechism of Trent, the whole tradition of the Church. It's beyond ridiculous. With regard to other points I could bring up about how the Novus Ordo is not valid and not legitimate, I think that those are well established and well known. I think many of the people who are even in the Vatican II Church realize that it's not a good service and that the changes were revolutionary. Many of the people have even admitted that and acknowledged that. But, again, I want to emphasize that suppose you had a form of consecration that said, this is my body, this is the chalice of my blood, of the Old and Temporary Testament. That would be invalid, because you're adding words to the form which signify falsely, which contradict the words of Christ, which are not the words of Christ. So even if we were to grant, for the sake of argument, that this is my body, this is my blood, is all you need, when you add heretical words to it, which contradict the words of Christ, falsify the words of Christ, it falsely signifies, as I pointed out with regard to the Arian baptismal form. And so the new Mass is invalid any which way you want to slice it. We also know that the long form is the form by tradition in all the traditional Roman altar missals. All of the words, not just this is my body, this is my blood, are set apart and bolded, not just this is my body, this is my blood, all of the words, including for you and for many, unto the remission of sins. As I said earlier, for you and for all is a complete lie, and I think my time's about up. All right, so you want to ask a question?
Yeah, I'll ask, and then you get 2 minutes to respond, and I get a minute rebuttal, right?
Okay.
All right. Peter, Mark and Exodus, the parallel Septuagint renderings, interchange all and many in reference to those to the shed covenantal blood. Can you explain this?
What reference in Exodus?
Exodus 24:8. Specifically, interchange all and many. Mark 14, the Eucharistic consecration account that has for many. The covenantal blood is interchanged in Exodus 24:8.
Well, okay, my response. In Exodus 24:8, it says, "This is the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you," concerning all of these words. It doesn't say all. And in the Gospel of Mark, it says, "This is the blood of the New Testament, my blood of the New Testament, which will be shed for many." And so it doesn't interchange the words. And if that were true, then you would have to say that all of the authorities, the scripture scholars who commented on this, the Catechism of Trent, St. Alphonsus, St. Thomas, Pope Benedict XIV, who did a detailed study of the Holy Sacrifice, examined the history of it, and specifically the words of consecration, and said, though it's granted that all and many are interchangeable in other passages of Scripture, they are not interchangeable in all passages, and most specifically, they are not interchangeable in the form of consecration. And so, it's simply false to say that all and many are interchangeable in the form of consecration. It's been disproven I don't know how many times. I don't know how many times it has to be proven, but it's simply not correct. And so, I mean, it's really a worthless argument. How much time do I have?
You have about a minute.
Okay. It's important to reiterate the issue of how clearly you are pitting yourself against the whole tradition of the Church on this issue. And what's amazing to me is that you will even make reference to things such as Pope St. Pius V's De Defectibus, which identifies the long form as the form. It doesn't identify the short form. And identifies for you and for many unto the remission of sins as part of the form. And says that if you remove or change anything of these words, and the meaning is altered, and we know the meaning is altered by all, from all the other things I've cited, and you still say that that not only doesn't prove my point, but that it proves your point somehow. That's really interesting logic. How much time?
Time.
Okay.
Time.
You have a minute.
I'll go ahead and I'll respond in a minute.
Okay.
All right. I find it rather interesting that you still don't get it. I spoke in it earlier, and I suppose you were ignoring me. But it is quite interesting that Exodus 24:3 tells us that it is the all that of the you referred to in the very passage I just mentioned to you. So yes, the two terms, pas and poloi, are interchanged in the relevant context. As I said, and as I asked you for an interpretation there, you continue saying that I'm pitting myself against the tradition of the Church, and as far as I know, I'm the only one that's dealt with the Fathers here. And as far as I know, I do not support universalism, and I do agree with every single thing that the Popes have said. I find that the person that cannot deal with not only Scripture has no idea what Scripture says, but a person that cannot even touch upon the patristic sources here is you. And anybody that can listen to the audio will see.
Hello? You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, you're done?
Oh, yeah, I'm done.
Okay. All right, I have a question for you, and you get 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. Question is, what is the grace proper to the sacrament of the Eucharist, and how is that signified in the new formula of consecration with all?
In the new consecration of the formula for all, hold on. In the new consecration of the formula for all, I've heard this argument brought up many times. We're told that the grace is signified either in an erroneous manner or is not signified properly because either the terms for all invalidates it, or either the reason that Mysterium Fidei is placed in a different section, this would as well invalidate it because of various reasons. I think, as I've pointed out many times before, that the usage of for all, as I pointed out, does not invalidate the sacrament at all because of the wording of the Novus Ordo. The Novus Ordo does not eliminate any grace being given to the individual because it is very clear that the shed sins, that the individual sins are not going to be shed for all. Not everybody is going to have their sins remitted in the Novus Ordo Mass. And I think it's very important to bring this up because I know exactly where you're going. What you're attempting to say, and which what I completely deny, is that we receive no real graces from the Novus Ordo because it pretty much teaches universalism. And I hope in your 1 minute to respond, to rebut me, I hope what you do is you spend time reading just what the consecration is in the Novus Ordo that does eliminate this grace from being given to us. And I hope that you do read it out loud so that the individuals can hear and can realize that we are not getting universalism taught to us here. What we are being told is exactly what we are told in John 6, and that is that Christ shed his blood for the whole world. We're not being told that everybody that comes to the Mass is going to receive remission of sins. Therefore, we do receive real graces from the Novus Ordo, and I think such an argument is ridiculous to try and postulate that we receive no real graces because universalism is taught. It is completely the opposite, and I think that you're reading into the passage, and I hope that you do spend your minute to read what the Novus Ordo does say.
Okay, 1 minute, so I've got to hurry. Go now. You didn't even answer the question. I asked you what the grace proper of the sacrament of the Eucharist, you obviously either don't know or are afraid to tell me. It's the union of the faithful with Christ. That's defined by the Council of Florence in the bull Exaltate Deo. That applies only to many, obviously, because only many are part of the Church, not all. The form of the Novus Ordo is this: for this is the chalice of my blood of the new and eternal testament. It shall be shed for you and for all, so that sins may be forgiven. That does not signify the union of the faithful with Christ, because all men are not part of the faithful. And for you and for many, under the remission of sins is the very part of the traditional form which signified the grace proper to the sacrament. By changing it to all, you remove the signification. There is no signification of that very grace. And Pope Leo XIII infallibly defines that all sacraments, and especially the form, must signify the grace which they affect and affect the grace which they signify. Therefore, the new form cannot be valid. All right. So, 6 minute close for you, and then 6 minutes for me?
That sounds good, yeah.
All right, go ahead.
All right, I'll start now. In closing, I'd like to say that I've really enjoyed this debate. I really think that our debate has helped highlight many key issues. Before I started this debate, I let Peter in on just how he could easily win this debate. All he had to do was prove that the usage of For All has, one, never been used by the Church before, two, that for many is absolutely needed to bring about a valid sacrament, and three, that the Novus Ordo was saying just what they claim it is saying, and that this contradicts Scripture and tradition. As we have seen throughout already, he has been unable to prove the first premise. Our early patristic witness shows us that there surely was no problem interchanging all and many. Either way, this did not invalidate his Eucharistic formula, nor was there outrage in the early Church that his writings contained heresy. In fact, as we have seen, Ephraim's writings were sometimes read after the scripture readings in biblical scholar Jerome's day. Peter Diamond was also unable to prove that for many is absolutely needed. If Peter Diamond's argument would be true, then we would have to invalidate the masses in three of the Eucharistic institution accounts in the scripture. If Peter Diamond's argument would be valid, then Trent would have erred many times over. If Peter Diamond's argument is valid, then we must say that the majority of the fathers are completely opposed to what he is claiming. The fathers were unanimous, and I hope that he doesn't study in this, and I hope he puts it up on his site. They were unanimous that this is my body and this is my blood, or that this is the chalice of my blood, was all that is needed to bring about a valid sacrament. So what will we have? Will we trust Peter Diamond, a mere man that isn't even a priest, doesn't have holy orders, can't even begin to deal with a biblical text, or will we trust the Church? The unanimous tradition of the fathers, the biblical text that has been formally defined. More than anything, we must trust what God has told us. He promised he would not abandon his Church. Has God lied to us? Has he let Satan take over his Church? If state of occultism is true, then we must throw out everything that makes sense. But I dare say state of occultism is not only untrue, but it's asking you to close your eyes and believe in nonsense. I am glad that Mr.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay. So, go ahead. You cut out for a second.
Oh, okay. Well, I was at the 2 minute mark. Let me. I got 4 minutes left in.
No, you were at the 2:15 mark.
I was at the 2:11 mark when you stopped me. When you spoke over me, I pressed stop. I was at 2:11.
All right. Go ahead.
I've got 3:50 left.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
He will have 6 minutes of his time to topple one of the three pillars I mentioned in my opening statement. If Mr. Diamond wastes his time by quoting doctors or saints out of context, then he must realize why he is doing it. Mr. Diamond can waste all the time he wants making fun of me or calling me a heretic. Whatever makes him jolly is good for him. But it shouldn't be good for you. As a Catholic or as a lover in Christ that is searching for the truth, you must demand more. You must demand more than shoddy biblical exegesis, false prophecies, and yes, the Diamonds have made ridiculous false prophecies in the past. I hope everyone that hears this debate and does their research will come up with just what they hoped for. Christ and his promise still stands. The arguments tossed at us today aren't something Mr. Diamond has concocted from his own wit. A number of them, in fact, originate from a man named Patrick Henry Almler, the godfather of Sedevacantism, if you will. And if you read Mr. Almler's works, even the works of those that have come after him, you will notice that too little of scripture, too little of tradition, and even less of reason is employed. In this debate, we have seen how Paas and Paloa are eligible in scriptural texts, even in the first. Even in Mark, which is harkening to Exodus, a text that Peter Diamond couldn't deal with, we see that contextually, the parallelism in the Greek New Testament and the Septuagint is overwhelming. And in those passages, all and many are interchanged in relevance to the blood of the covenant, in relevance to the sacrificial nature of the text. In the passage of John, we see that Christ is giving his body and blood for the whole world. In John's consistent usage of cosmos, this is for all, not just many. Don't let lightweight arguments fool you. Hearing about clown masses and liturgical abuses of the Diamonds spend the majority of their videos whining about. They do not prove that a liturgical rite is invalid. In order for an argument to be valid, you must attack the teaching, not an abuse of the teaching. Another argument advanced is that the current Novus Dei, Novus Ordo altars are not real altars at all. Well, I wasn't aware that the biblical text or early fathers or dogmatic teachers of the church had declared what an altar must be. That an altar must be what Mr. Diamond wishes it to be. In regards to Mr. Diamond's question, he seems to be upset that I didn't answer it in the form that he wished I would have answered it. In fact, I defused his argument immediately, pointing out that his charge was answered earlier, and in fact, the Novus Ordo is not teaching universalism. That is something that Mr. Diamond didn't catch. I wasn't going to allow him to try and trap me with a silly question if I had answered it already before and pointed out a simple fact that the Novus Ordo is not teaching universalism. Anybody can rewind the debate and listen to what I quoted earlier in regards to Mysterium Fidei. Moving onwards, if one were to examine Hebrews 13:10 and the Thusiasterion, literally the altar place of the Christians, which is in reference to the Eucharist, we could hardly see any stringent demands being placed upon just what a Thusiasterion must be. But in Mr. Diamond's closing statements, he has a chance to show us and to refute what Hebrews 13:10 is saying. Since Mr. Diamond will also be speaking last, it's great. Hopefully he'll be able to touch upon the patristic sources. He has a good amount of time. He'll show us why the fathers were unanimous in that this is my body and this is my blood was all that is needed to bring about a valid sacrament. And sure, I pointed out many times before, many of the fathers used the term for many. Here's the problem. Each and every single father is clear that this is my body and this is my blood are what transforms the elements. When they quote a relevant passage that has for many, they never say, for many is needed. It's this is my body and this is my blood. Every single pillar that I erected and I asked Peter Diamond to knock down to win this debate is still standing. And Peter Diamond will have 6 minutes to knock down one of them. I hope he can, but I assure you he will not be able to.
Okay, I'm going to start my 6 minutes now.
Go ahead.
Okay. In this debate, we've been treated to a litany of false arguments, blatant contradictions of Catholic teaching, repetitive examples of a Protestant orientation. He, for instance, refuses to accept the fact that the accounts in Scripture, which are given to us concerning the words of consecration, are not full sacramental forms. And St. Thomas Aquinas specifically shot down this falsehood in Summa Theologica Part 3, Question 78, Article 3, saying, as I quoted earlier, the Gospel writers did not intend to hand down the forms of the sacraments. Their object was to write the story of Christ. But my opponent obviously still hasn't gotten past his Protestantism and is fixed on sola scriptura and obviously dismisses tradition and the teaching of the Church. I've cited the Council of Florence, Pope St. Pius V, in fact, every magisterial decree which addresses what is necessary in the form of consecration gives us all the words, the long form, for you and for many unto the remission of sins. Not a single one contradicts it. St. Thomas Aquinas says the same thing, and he is known to take the best of the fathers. Did they understand the teaching of the fathers? Of course they did. Is there anything of greater weight to contradict any of that? No. We have the Catechism of Trent, which says the same thing. It says, with reason, therefore, the Lord Jesus did not use all, because it would have given a false signification, because it's only talking about the faithful with Christ. I asked you the question, what is the grace proper to the sacrament of the Eucharist? You obviously didn't know, or didn't want to tell me, because it contradicts your whole point. And the Council of Florence tells us what it is. It's the union of the faithful with Christ. For you and for all men do not signify the union of the faithful with Christ. How do we know that? We know it from Pope Benedict XIV, the Catechism of Trent, St. Alphonsus, St. Thomas, etc. And with reason, all men are not part of the mystical body. We've been treated to completely irrelevant arguments, such as that many and all are interchangeable in Scripture. It doesn't make any difference. They're not interchangeable in every passage, such as in Matthew 7:13. It says, "Broad is the way that leadeth to hell, and many who are there, who go there." Could we substitute all there? No, we can't. Okay, and that's why Pope Benedict XIV, in addressing this very point, says we grant that many and all are interchangeable in some passages, but they're not interchangeable in all, and they're not interchangeable in the form of consecration. I pointed out also that even if this is my body, this is my blood, were sufficient, which it most assuredly is not, if you add words to it which are heretical, even words some of which come from Scripture, it still can be an invalid form, as we see in the Arian baptismal form. They had all the words, but they added the Father who is greater and the Son who is less, and it falsely signified. The new Mass is without question an abomination. It lies about the words of Christ. Even you admitted that Jesus did not say for all in the institution forms. But the new Mass lies and said Jesus taking the cup said these words for all. And so when you lie about what Christ said, obviously that is falsely signifying right in the form itself. I pointed out how in remissionem peccatorum, in followed by a noun in the accusative case, signifies actuality and effectiveness unto the remission of sins. So when you substitute all there, even though you're changing the words after that, the original signification was effectiveness. It's universal salvation. I pointed out there's no response, basically, to the arguments about the union of the faithful with Christ. There's no response to the Council of Florence. I point out how the Catechism of Trent also makes reference to the Council of Florence. I shot down his false argument from Duddy, which is completely, frankly, ridiculous, and the only reason it's appealing to some is because he's a Latin expert. And if you put that aside, his argument, when you boil it down, is absurd, because it begs the question, why wouldn't the Catechism just say, this is my body, this is my blood, is all you need? It doesn't. It says the words are contained in all the words, all the way unto the remission of sins. And it's not saying that the words which signify the effectiveness are just, this is my blood. With regard to my opponent here, as I said before, he's has to be one of the most spiritually blind individuals I've ever come across. I bring up the grammatical error simply because it is relevant. It demonstrates how blind you are and how right you think you are and how wrong you are, obstinately, in the face of the evidence. You have made some of the most absurd arguments. In your video series, you say, for instance, that it's nonsense, as I said earlier, to say that many is necessary, even though that's what the Church teaches. You say that it's illogicality at its best to cite someone as Michael Davies because we don't agree with them on everything. Well, that's absurd. You can cite people who might have an expertise on the liturgical changes in Protestant England, even if you don't agree with all of their other conclusions. People do that all the time when they cite church historians. It doesn't mean they agree with everything else they say. That's the kind of argument you make. And I quoted the Eastern liturgies, or I pointed out how the authorities of the church, such as Pope Benedict XIV, the Catholic Encyclopedia, makes the same point. Many of these are corrupted, have no authority or value among Catholics. They are not proof of anything. And so all the authorities are arrayed, proving the point. And then the apocalyptic signals we see, although they're not necessary, they are relevant. All of these things which come at a time of general apostasy from the Catholic faith, the new Mass's fruits are atrocious, and it all really emanates, or much of it, from this false liturgy, and it's clear that all is, without question, invalid. So I think my time is up.
Yeah, it's up.
All right. So I'm going to stop.